It's time for CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, YouTube, and TuneIn. The easiest thing to do is tell Alexa or Siri to play CBJ in 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
So look at him. Check the flavor of the rhythm I wrote. And while I get a chance here, let me clear my throat. Oh! Have mercy, babe. Ha! I hope you don't mind. Let me clear my throat. Now, if y'all want to party like we do.
Welcome to another CBJ and 30 presented by Telhio Credit Union. Great to be here with you once again as we are 1 week closer to the start of the NHL season. That was something that was said to me a couple of weeks ago by Marty Mulford, who is in charge of our ticketing department with the Blue Jackets. He said he tells his son that every week. We're 1 week closer to the start of the NHL season. Now, when is that going to be? That's the problem. We don't know. But we do know we are 1 week closer to the start of the season. And that brings me to my very first thing. Last night, the NBA released some announcements about its schedule. And I like when the NBA does things because it seems like when they set a precedent, the NHL follows. Sometimes they follow quickly. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. I know the NHL has things to work out, but I want to tell you what the NBA did. They've decided they're going to release their schedule in two halves. Now, they're expected to start their season December 22nd. Their training camp will start around December 1st. They're going to release a first half schedule on December 1st. It'll run from December 22nd to March the 4th. And then sometime later in the first half, they're going to release a second half schedule. All right? They're planning on playing 72 games. They're going to release their schedule in halves. And then they've already figured out they're going to play the teams. If you're whatever conference you're in, you're going to play the teams within your conference three times. That'll total you 42 games. And then they'll play teams from the opposing conference two times, and that is the other 30 games that are on the slate. They're also going to have a play-in for the playoffs. They've figured it out. They've got it all on paper. They're going to try to put it into effect. And again, I like that because what that says to me is the NHL will be moving. I know they're already moving. I know they're talking. You know, owners are talking. The players, the return to play committee, they're talking. But they haven't finalized anything yet. Whenever these types of things come out of the NBA, I feel that the NHL is getting closer. If they're not getting closer, they're going to make a quick move to get closer because it's not a keep up with the Joneses, but, well, it is and it isn't. What I'm saying is there's a precedent, okay? One league has said, okay, we're going to do it this way. And that allows the other league to come in and go, good idea, we're going to do something similar, but we're going to do it this way. So I think that's where we are now. Again, the NHL is trying to hammer out how they want everything to go, and they've got to agree upon that with the players. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this whole return to play with Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News later in the show. I'm going to answer your questions here in just a moment, but first I'm going to tell you about Telhio Credit Union. And why am I going to tell you about Telhio Credit Union? Well, because they are the fine folks that bring you this show week after week, day after day during the season. It's coming up on Thanksgiving, and that means we're going to be moving into the Christmas season. And maybe you'd like to improve your home. Maybe give yourself a little bit of a gift for Christmas. Well, you should check out the home equity and property improvement loans through Telhio Credit Union. They have a wide range of home equity and home improvement options. They've got traditional lines of credit. They have loans that don't require equity. Terms of range from 5 to 20 years with a low fixed or variable interest rate. You can find out all about it at telhio.org. Go on their website. Just click on the advertisements, click on the banners, and find out about all the services that they have at Telhio Credit Union. Find out what they can do for you. How can they help you in ways that you're not being helped out right now? Find out by going to see Telhio Credit Union on the web at telhio.org. All right, earlier this week, the retro color jerseys were released by Adidas. I've got questions on my Twitter account, at Bobby Mac Sports. I don't want to waste a lot of time on this because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care. I don't care what they wear. It doesn't matter to me. As a matter of fact, the way things are right now, they could skate naked, and I don't care because I just want them to play. I just want them to skate. So if they look like Ned Braden at the end of Slapshot, I'm fine with it. I don't care. And here's another thing. Although I like uniforms, I will be honest with you, and this will surprise none of you or very few of you. I'm a traditionalist guy. I mean, I like the home uniforms. I like the away uniforms. Their jerseys, you know, okay. I'm not going to get wrapped up in it. Again, it doesn't matter to me. Adidas wanted to do something fun, something different. Made these retro jerseys for all the teams. Some I like, some I don't like. Who cares if I like them or not? They're still going to wear them. You know, they're not going to wear them very often. It's going to be a very special thing. I love the whole concept. I love the idea of this. I think the NHL does need to do it more. They don't need to have six jerseys, but I think they do need to have more. I've said it on the show. If I didn't, I'll say it right now. I think on Hockey Fights Cancer Night, you should be able to wear your purple jersey during the game, not just during warmups. I think for the whole this spectacle of the thing, that's the word. I think when you're trying to drive home that Hockey Fights Cancer message, I think wearing the uniforms throughout the entire game, having your TV broadcast in those uniforms, having your highlights in those uniforms, I think it sends a better message. You know, it's great they wear them during warmups and then they auction them off and, you know, the money goes to help cancer victims and all that. That's great. Why not wear it the whole game? Why not have a rule that you can wear the cancer jersey on your cancer night? And everybody would do it. Everybody. For the entire month, everybody would do it. So I think they should do that. I think each team should have a military appreciation jersey that they should wear. So right there, that's four jerseys, not counting a third. There's five jerseys that you could sell. And you could tweak those cancer jerseys and those military jerseys every year, however you want. I don't care. Those are two that I think should become standard within the league. I really do. But they go with this retro color jersey. And look, I'm just going to say this, and this is all my opinion right here, okay? I mean, the folks at Adidas, they went to every market and tried to do something unique for that market. I think some of them are home runs. Some of them are foul tips. Some of them are out-and-out strikeouts, I think. But anyway, again, you don't – who cares? People in Anaheim care what I think about their retro color jersey? No, they don't. And I get it. They shouldn't care. But the Blue Jackets won. Look, I have said for a long time that I have no problem with more red in the uniform for a third or for something like this. Listen, as much as some of you may cringe, you know that this is true. Two things that are true. Number one, red is one of your colors. The Blue Jackets logo has a lot of red in it. It's part of the Ohio flag. I get it, but a lot of red in it. You can see it right in front of you. So that's one thing. Red is there. Okay. Red, white, and blue. It's right there. And the other thing is red sells in Columbus, Ohio. Say what you want. Say it's not red. Say it's something else. I don't care. It sells. And these jerseys are going to sell. Let me give you this example. Last week, before the full unveil, when on Twitter there were just a couple little pictures, my 19-year-old calls me. He goes, "Hey, Dad, can I get one of these jerseys?" Couldn't even see it. Couldn't even see the whole thing. And that's what this is about. No offense. I mean, someone my age will buy a jersey, right? But is that not what they're shooting for with this, with the younger generation? So to me, that's it. It's a win. No matter what I think, it's a win. But anyway, I can't believe how much time I'm going to spend already on clothing. All right, let me go to the questions. The Schweid says, two questions. What are your thoughts on the reverse retro jersey? And do you think guys like Nick Foligno, Cam Atkinson, or David Savard are excited to rock the old school logo. And I wonder what Rick Nash thinks about them. Well, I haven't talked to Rick. I haven't talked to any of these guys, but I saw Nick Foligno retweeted with fire the day they were released. So I would say they're excited about it. Something different for them, okay? It's something – when you go in and it's the same old, and you know, come on. If you wear a uniform for work, you put on that same uniform every day, if you get a day where you don't have to wear your uniform or something, a special day, isn't that special to wear something different? I think these guys are like that. I think it's in some ways the same. So, yeah, they're excited about it. They're excited about it. Now, Lauren must pay great attention. And I mean great attention to what I say, which is smart, really smart. But that has set Lauren up for a great question. And that question is this. Are you happy with the font they used for the numbers on the reverse retro jerseys? I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw the pictures and I saw the numbers on the sleeve, I could have cared less what color the sleeve was, what color the body was, what logo was on the front. Didn't care. Because I saw the numbers that I can recognize so much easier. I told you before, I am not a fan of the new font of numbers that came in a couple of years ago. Not a fan. And I'm telling you, when the game is going at full speed and there's a line change, and if you didn't see Oliver Bjorkstrand change for Riley Nash, and they're both right-handed shots, and they both have a similar build, and that 20 looks like a 28 at a quick glance, until you actually, you know, you got to gather it in and break it down. I never had that problem with the old font. And if I have a problem with it on these jerseys, then I just got old and I can't see. But I'm telling you, I was so happy to see that number font. Nothing else mattered to me. And we all know it's about me. Mark Correll II says, retro jersey question. Shocker. Sorry, Mark. What are your thoughts on relocated teams using original logos like the Nordiques or the Whalers? I find it in bad form. Well, Mark, this is a good question. This is a good retro, reverse, whatever thing. And I disagree with you. I like it. I like it. Look, the Carolina Hurricanes are the Hartford Whalers. Or they were. They're not, but they were. What does it matter if this retro jersey is in a style of the Whalers? This is a team that was wearing old Whalers jerseys the last, it was a couple of years, at least last year. They were wearing them anyway. So embrace it. Like, who cares? And they can sell that. They can sell the heck out of that jersey, which is, oh, by the way, what this is all about. It's only so much a fashion statement. This is about creating revenue. Right? Am I right? Of course I'm right. The Colorado Avalanche, look, you might say, yeah, they were the Quebec Nordiques, but they haven't ever embraced any real Nordique stuff, and now their throwback is a Nordiques logo. I don't care. I think it looks sharp. I think it looks really good. They're going to sell the heck out of them. I like them. So I don't think it's in bad form. Look, the honesty is, the Carolina Hurricanes once upon a time were the Hartford Whalers. The Colorado Avalanche at one time was the Quebec Nordiques. If you're turning back the clock, that's what they were. And that's what they will be with these jerseys. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I like it. I really do. So can we quit talking about clothing now? Really? I mean, I don't go and look, here are the things I'm going to be honest with you. Here are the things that I read and I don't know why I read them. Yes, I do, because I have nothing else to do. This is why I read these comments, why I would go into the lost cause that is the internet and look at some of this stuff. People, look, if you're one of those people that wanted it to be neon green instead of red, I'm sorry. Not a chance. Not a chance. Oh, it would be different. It would be hideous. No, not a chance. For those of you that are upset that the Canon logo is on the shoulder and it wasn't the cap or the kepi or it wasn't Stinger, I saw so many comments about why wasn't it Stinger. Look, in Stinger himself, I'm gonna get a tweet for this from Stinger. But sorry, my friend. No. I don't care if it used to be there, okay? Not everything has to be as it was. There was never a red jersey. So we're already breaking the form. And I like that Canon logo. So if you want to tie the present with the past, who cares? I don't sit around designing jerseys. I'm not knocking you if you do. I'm just telling you that I don't care what they wear. I just want them to play. And whatever uniform they have on, when I start my radio broadcast, I'm going to describe that uniform. I'm going to describe all the colors in it. And I'm going to describe what pants they're wearing, what socks they're wearing, what color helmet they're wearing. And then we're going to play. And, you know, unless Pierre-Luc Dubois has 12 more goals wearing a red jersey than he has in a blue one, does it matter? Not to me. Not to me. All right, I've had enough of that. Let's get to Dylan. And Dylan has a real question, like a hockey question. I shouldn't say that stuff. You guys are going to get so mad. You'd be like, oh, he's ripping us for designing our jerseys and for wanting this and wanting that. Look, am I ripping you? Oh, man, I guess it sounds that way, and maybe I am. I don't know, but it's just – in the big scheme of things, can we just play? Can we just get back to normal and go to work? It's a great talking point, and it's a great argument, I guess. But again, it's a piece of clothing. They're not going to wear it 60 games. They not play 60 games. All right, here's Dylan's question. For this upcoming season, who do you think will improve the most for the Blue Jackets? I'll tell you, this is what I think. Alexander Texier got hurt early last year, and he was hurt badly for a long time. I think a healthy Alexander Texier in his third season in the NHL, and I say that because he came in, he finished 1 year, he played in the playoffs, he started last year, was hurt for a long time, you know, came back at the end. So I think if you get a healthy Alexander Texier, that is my vote. That is my vote. And I think he'll play great in a home jersey, in a road jersey, in a third jersey, in a retro colored jersey, and the whole nine yards. So that's my pick, Alexander Texier. All right. And by the way, one more thing. I do like the jerseys. I know there's this fine line. I've seen it online. Like it, hate it. Not that many in the middle. I like it. That's the last I'm going to say about it. Far as I'm concerned. Right now, I've got some other pressing questions. On Sunday, I was, you know, doing what I do on Sunday, and that is go through and look at different columns and what writers have written. And I ran across Mike Harrington's column in the Buffalo News. And I thought there were some great things in that column. Number one, it talked about Taylor Hall, you know, joining the Buffalo Sabres, big story of the offseason, obviously, 1 year contract, $8 million. Another thing that was talked about was the Sabres maybe taking the Blue Jackets' place in the Metropolitan Division. If there's a realignment, and it looks like there will be, if there's a Canadian division, then that means some teams from the Atlantic are going to be booted out and there will be restructuring in the United States. And the Blue Jackets could end up in a division with maybe a Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, Nashville, Carolina, Florida, Tampa. And that would take away Pittsburgh, Philly, Islanders, Rangers, Bruins, and maybe the Sabres get put over there. So Mike talked about that and how that might work for the Buffalo Sabres. And then what I thought was a very interesting thing was some potential building problems, arena problems with the San Jose Sharks. So I'm going to bring on Mike Harrington here in just a moment with these things in mind. Will Taylor Hall get the Sabres to the playoffs for the first time in a decade? Secondly, Well, the San Jose Sharks leave San Jose. And third, will the American Hockey League ever play a game in the 2020-2021 season? Aha! All of those answers and more as I bring in columnist for the Buffalo News, Mike Harrington. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, for any Blue Jackets person that says, you know, what do you got a guy on from Buffalo for? Because Mike is more than just Buffalo. He's all of the National Hockey League. I think you're a worldly guy, quite frankly. So that's what I want to get, is that kind of information from you. But I do want to talk about the Sabres because there's a reason, especially when it relates to the Blue Jackets, because the former Blue Jacket is now the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, and that is Kevin Adams. But, you know, I was in upstate New York in Syracuse when the Sabres were bankrupt, and Tom Golisano rescued them from that. And then, actually, we were there earlier last year when Tom Golisano was then honored by the Buffalo Sabres.
That's right.
Before a game. And then, of course, Terry and Kim Pegula come in. They take over. They buy the Sabres. They end up buying the Bills. I mean, I think if it wasn't for the Pegulas, you may not have Major League Sports in the city of Buffalo any longer. They've built the downtown. They've gotten the Bills on track. Of course, having a franchise quarterback will help you do that. But the Sabres have the same kind of guy in Jack Eichel. He was the second-best player in the draft a couple of years ago. He's a phenom kind of a player, but yet they haven't been able to put it together. And now – what is it, the third general manager now with Kevin Adams following Jason Botterill and
Tim Murray.
Tim Murray, thank you very much. Yeah. And so you're on the third general manager. I don't even know how many coaches now. Are the Sabres starting to figure this thing out?
No. I mean, until otherwise proven, no. I mean, there's a lot of positives this offseason, but right now they've missed the playoffs 9 straight years. And if they miss the playoffs this coming season, if we play, assuming we play, it'll be 10 years out of the playoffs, tied for the all-time NHL record. I mean, that's just an embarrassment for what was an established franchise. And you look back to the records in the 70s and 80s and into the mid-90s, the Buffalo Sabres had one of the top winning percentages in the entire NHL. So they have really fallen into the abyss here. But there is a lot of hope. Certainly Jack Eichel gives you hope. He's one of the top, 15, 20 players in the league, maybe more. If the season had played out, if they made the playoffs last year, he's probably a top 5 in the Hart Trophy vote. That helps. And then you look at the new general manager, you bring up Kevin Adams. He's made a lot of goofy moves here in the offseason. He's also, perhaps, pulled off the best trade we've seen so far, getting Eric Staal for Marcus Johansson and saving $1.25 million on the cap, and signed probably the best free agent forward in Taylor Hall in what I would rate as a pretty interesting one-year flyer. So there's hope that Taylor Hall can really blow up and is prove it year to himself and play with Jack Eichel. And, you know, the biggest thing to me is the Sabres were not that far away last year. 1 point for the return to play. But just in general, the way they played, they had a lot of quality wins. They had 2 6-game losing streaks, and that derailed their whole season. Otherwise, much improved in a lot of under-the-hood numbers under Ralph Kruger. Just didn't get the job done in goal. Mostly was a real big failing.
With Taylor Hall, I know there was a lot of talk when Jarmo Kekäläinen here was clearing a lot of cap space. There was a lot of talk about the Blue Jackets going after Taylor Hall. And I'll be completely honest. I was like, okay, but, you know, and that's – I'm not really knocking him. Probably sounds like it. But, I mean, this guy, I know he's been an MVP, but to me he's been up and he's down. And is he going to be the player he was a couple of years ago with New Jersey, or is he not? How surprised were you when he took the one-year deal and the fact that he chose the Buffalo Sabres to go to over some other teams in the league where, you know, maybe he would have had a better guarantee to get into the postseason, go deep in the postseason?
Well, and that was the thought, that he wanted to go somewhere to win. He's really only played in the playoffs a couple times, this year with Arizona and one time with the Devils. The biggest thing to me about Taylor Hall is that he was really sold on Ralph Kruger right from the beginning at Edmonton. If Ralph Kruger had never been fired as the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, and he got a raw deal out there in the lockout season, Taylor Hall's career trajectory probably would have been quite a bit different. And Taylor Hall believed a lot in Ralph Kruger. And then he told us, he told his agent right from the start, hey, I'm willing to listen to Buffalo. That's a place I might be interested in. I think his agent was probably surprised at that too. But the Sabres called him up right at noon on free agent day. They had an appointment an hour later. And by the weekend, they had a signed deal. I think Taylor Hall didn't want to wait. I think Taylor Hall was smart. Excuse me. He saw what's going on here with the pandemic. He didn't want to be Mike Hoffman or Eric Halla or Mikael Granlund or a lot of these forwards were still sitting there unsigned. He got a one-year deal, a prove-it deal. He can play with Jack Eichel. He got $8 million. He took it. He's got a coach he knows. An interesting deal all around.
Yeah, really good point. Talking with Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News. And when I looked at your column on Sunday, and this is why I wanted to have you on today to talk about a lot of these things, you just mentioned those free agents that are still out there. And Mike Hoffman is a guy you speculated could still wind up in Columbus. Maybe he goes to the Boston Bruins. They've got some injuries to start the season, whenever that is, for crying out loud. You know, the Blue Jackets just announced 2 weeks ago, Gus Nyquist is going to be out for 5 or 6 months. So there's another hole at forward there. Where do you think Mike Hoffman is going to wind up? I know one of the knocks on him has been his defensive play. And of course, John Tortorella doesn't really like guys that don't play defense, but the Blue Jackets are 27th in the league in scoring last year. And so that offensive pop has got to catch your eye, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Blue Jackets need a scorer. I mean, you kind of, even just a couple minutes ago, Bob, you kind of poo-pooed the idea of Taylor Hall for the Blue Jackets.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. And you're right about that. I was talking about, on a one-year deal, I'd love Taylor Hall.
Right.
A five-year deal at $8 million a year, I don't know if I love Taylor Hall. I want to clarify that, but go ahead. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the Blue Jackets certainly need a scorer, but Hoffman is not a torts player. You know, I think at this point, you still wonder if Hoffman ends up back in Florida again. You know, I do think the other one, you don't know what the cap is going to look like for the Bruins if they're going to have to use some long-term IR. You don't know what's going to end up at St. Louis with Tarasenko. I mean, there are teams out there that might need Hoffman, and Hoffman's probably playing it smart right now. He probably needs to wait to closer to camp and see how things shake out for some of these teams, see who might give him that one-year deal. I think he's going to end up on a one-year deal and need to go take another kick at the can next summer. But you're right. There's a lot of free agents out there still. Teams can still go shopping here if they need somebody. But it's a tough market right now. I mean, no one anticipated a year ago, 2 years ago, a flat cap in the summer of, you know, 2020, heading into 2021 like they are. I think a lot of these teams signed guys thinking we were going to be $85 to $90 million in a couple of years here. And here we are stuck at 81 and a half. And a lot of teams are doing this. They're putting their hand to their head and going, what are we going to do here? How are we going to figure this? Like, how are the Leafs going to figure this out? You know, that's a team that's really stuck in cap jail. Forget about the Tampa situation. I don't even know how Tampa figures out, because what's the problem with Tampa, Bob? They won the cup. Who's helping them? What GM is going to help them out of their pickle? Nobody.
Nobody. They're all just sitting around. They're like sharks swimming in a circle. They're just waiting to see what the fallout is going to be, right? Because I think that's exactly where the Blue Jackets are right now. They're one of these teams. They're looking for a deal. I mean, yeah, Mike Hoffman is a proven guy, but it's going to cost you a lot of money even for 1 year. But maybe if you can just hang out a little bit, you're going to find a team that has to part with a player they don't want to, and you're going to get a bargain basement price. And I'm sure the Blue Jackets aren't the only team doing that right now.
No, I'm sure they're not, because the Blue Jackets are certainly closer than the Buffalo Sabres are, for instance. And they don't necessarily need a lot to get them over the hump, to really get them potentially deep into the playoffs at some point. I mean, you look at this past year. Yeah, it was five games against Tampa. Well, those are five pretty tough games, were they not? Yeah. You know, for a team that ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So that shows you where the Blue Jackets are right now. And to me, that's one of the issues. The Blue Jackets spent so many years not making the playoffs. It was almost like they weren't part of the league. I wrote a column one time. I called them the most irrelevant franchise in professional sports. Well, and I heard a lot of people wanted to use the cannon on me for that one. But that's the point in hockey. If you'd ever make the playoffs, it feels like the Buffalo Sabres aren't even in the league. They're never in the playoffs. You never have that chance. You have to get in the thing. The Blue Jackets are now at the point in their franchise history where they are in it. They are expected to be in it. They're dangerous once they're there, as we've seen. The Sabres have to get to that point.
All right, let's take this another step, because this was in your Sunday column too. The potential changing of divisions for the upcoming season, which after I read your column, I felt a little bit better, quite frankly, because if there's a Canadian division – there's the possibility that maybe the Buffalo Sabres wind up playing with all those Metropolitan Division teams, and maybe the Blue Jackets get a chance to back out. Now, that being said, you'd still have to be in a division if you're the Blue Jackets with the defending Stanley Cup champs and the Lightning, maybe the previous defending Stanley Cup champs and the St. Louis Blues.
Right.
So that sucks. But the fact of the matter is, I'm sorry. The Metro Division has been the toughest division in hockey the last couple of years, I think, having gone through it and watching the parity and how close it is every year. So I would be absolutely okay with backing out of that division for a year, and good luck to the Buffalo Sabres if they have to go in there and play all those guys. But obviously, just the geographics is what makes that a real possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to take all the Canadian teams and put them in a Canadian division, so that's going to take the Leafs and Montreal and Ottawa out of the Atlantic. So we're talking Buffalo and Columbus here. The Sabres really are up against it. They're going to end up in essentially what's the Metro. They're going to end up with the Penguins, the Capitals, the Flyers, the Rangers, the Islanders. To me, the Blue Jackets are almost the swing team. Do the Blue Jackets stay where they are, stay with most of the Metro teams? And I agree with you, probably not. The Blue Jackets, of course, are going to go back, I think, to the old days a little bit where they were more of a Western team. They're going to go with Detroit. They're going to go with St. Louis and Chicago and Minnesota and maybe, you know, and teams like that. And who knows what they're going to do. I think Dallas probably ends up in the Pacific, but the Blue Jackets are going to go that way. So I don't think they're going to see the Sabres. The Sabres essentially might be the Blue Jackets' replacement in what's now the Metro Division. Bad news for the Sabres. I think a better possibility for the Blue Jackets, even though they would be probably with Tampa and with St. Louis. But yeah, that was really the point of my column, how the Sabres have done a lot of nice things this offseason, and the Atlantic Division has a lot of up-and-coming teams, Ottawa, Detroit, but teams that aren't there yet the Sabres could compete with. Wow, put the Sabres in the Metro right now. That's serious, serious trouble. And people say, well, some of those teams aren't that great. Well, how many teams? Seven of them were in the return to play. They were all roughly 80-point teams. The only team that's really struggling is the Devils. And the Devils, I think, are going to get better. But the Rangers just added Lafreniere. The Islanders just went deep into the playoffs. And we know about the Flyers, the Penguins, the Capitals. So, yeah, it's a real problem for the Buffalo Sabres, something they could have done nothing about. But it's going to happen. There's going to be a Canadian division here, and that's going to shuffle things up for everybody else.
Funny, you were talking about the old column you wrote about irrelevant teams. Once upon a time, if you would have said to me, well, the Blue Jackets are going to follow the Red Wings into a division, I would have said, oh, man, come on. But right now I would say, yeah. And
let's
can
do
we
it.
Play them like 14
yeah.
times? That'd be great.
Right. You know, but you better get them soon.
Right,
I mean, let's
yeah.
Let's get here.
No, we're all, absolutely.
We
There's
have
no
full faith. We have yeah. full faith that Steve Yzerman is going to turn that around. And unfortunately, they definitely got hosed. I mean, ending up with the number four oh. pick. And the way last year went, did any team deserve Lafreniere more than the Red Wings? But Steve Yzerman's going to turn that around, and that's why you're going to need to get the Red Wings now. And all the comeuppance for all the years they were good is going to go away soon because they're going to get good again.
No, I agree with you on that one. Another interesting story you had in your column, and I haven't seen this written, so if it was written, maybe it was written in San Jose, but I didn't see it. The San Jose Sharks, this has become what appears to be one of the more stable franchises in the National Hockey League. You know, more times than not, they're in the playoffs. A couple of years ago, they were in the Stanley Cup final. But there is potentially a problem brewing in San Jose for the Sharks with their building. And the problem is that Google is essentially buying up most of, if not all of, downtown San Jose. And they're developing it. Now, that sounds like a good thing on the surface, but it's not a good thing for the San Jose Sharks because it's making it or has the potential to make it very challenging just to get access to their arena. So in your column, you speculated that if they don't figure something out, maybe there's a possibility the San Jose Sharks are looking to move out of San Jose. Almost unthinkable. Tell me about that situation.
Well, you're right. I mean, if you think about it, for people who've never been to San Jose, it's a pretty tight little downtown. It's not a big sprawling city like LA or San Francisco. I enjoy San Jose. Good restaurants, you know, good hotels. But the arena, the SAP Center, dates to 1993. Great atmosphere, great fans, a lot of noise. Love the shark coming down out of the rafters. The players skate through to start the game. But it's very, very tight. It's a tight footprint. The service level where the locker rooms are doesn't include a lot of storage. The locker rooms aren't big. The media facilities aren't great. The press box catwalk view is a little dicey. It's not Calgary-like, but, you know, it's up there. There's beams in front of your eyes. Not a lot of suites. They've done work in the building. They put in a new ice plant this year, but definitely on the lower rung of NHL arenas, probably in the bottom five right now and probably in the bottom one or two once the Islanders open up and Calgary get a new place. So now you've got train stations and train lines, Caltrain, and they want to put a BART line, the rapid transit there. But Google wants to take all this up. They want to take up the land. They want to take up the parking lots, the roads, and the Sharks are worried there's going to be no way to get traffic to their games, nowhere for anybody to park, and basically the infrastructure of their arena is going to be destroyed by construction that some people say might go for a decade. So they've apparently been working. Yeah, this is not a one-year project. They've been working behind the scenes trying to get some help here and haven't really gotten much help apparently from the government. And the San Jose Mercury News actually published a story where the team president, I believe, that he basically made a public appeal to the season ticket holders and the fans saying, write your governor, write your local officials. We need help here because this is not going to allow our franchise to survive if literally we can't access our arena and our fans can't access our arena. So it's really a story, like you said, that dropped out of the sky that no one really outside of San Jose knew a lot about. And we're going to have to see what develops. I haven't even seen any comment from the league on this yet, but they have to be concerned because you're right. It's a good franchise. It's a stable franchise. They just hosted the Stanley Cup final. They just hosted the All-Star game. So, you know, the league has them in high regard. They could not have envisioned this kind of scenario. So it's definitely going to be a story to watch here going forward.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. I mean, usually you talk about dilapidated buildings and municipalities that don't want to replace it through tax dollars. And here you have a corporation that wants to come in, rip up everything, build everything new. But it could be a problem for the team that inhabits the building. It's ridiculous. They also had, they play their AHL team out of that building too. So you're talking about.
Now they're moving that. The AHL team, the practice facility is about 3 miles away and they built a 4,000 seat arena within the practice facility to put the San Jose, what's the nickname?
Barracuda.
To put the San Jose Barracuda in. I mean, I'm good, pretty good in my AHL nickname, you know? So they're going to have that situation taken care of, but you're right. It's not a dilapidated arena. It's just small. They have put a lot of money into it, but it's a situation now that it bears watching because if you can't get to the arena and fans can't get there, that's a problem.
Yeah. And I mean, on the surface, it looks easy to say, well, just tell Google to build a new arena, be done with it. Just make it part of the plans. But what is there any chance? Because I know the Golden State Warriors just moved into a brand new facility. And I don't know if you looked into any of that. Do they have the ability to make ice in that building?
You know, I haven't looked, but that was the first thing I thought. Was this the first step in the San Jose Sharks saying, you know what, we want to go play in the Chase Center in San Francisco? You know, I don't know. I can't imagine you would build a building now and make the same mistake that they made in the Barclays Center and make it terrible for hockey. I can't imagine you would do that. I don't know the ins and outs of Chase Center in San Francisco, other than it was one of the more spectacular buildings I've ever seen on television and the design factor and the billion-dollar cost. But, yeah, it struck me right away. There aren't many places left where you could put an NHL team, Bob. Think about it. Houston, most people keep saying at some point Arizona is going to end up there. And I thought of right away, isn't this the way the Sharks could move to San Francisco? So, yeah, I mean, we're putting two and two together here and maybe getting three and a half, but I can't believe we're the only people who have had that thought.
Yeah, usually when I'm coming up with it, like 10 other people have already been there. And I make that call and they go, yeah, no kidding. That was like 6 weeks ago. Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News is with me. You can check out his work, of course, in the Buffalo News. All right, I want to ask you really two more things. The first one is, do you think this January 1st is a real possibility for the NHL to start play? And the second thing is, because we just mentioned the AHL and the Sabres own the Rochester franchise. Of course, that's you and I met, of course, when I was doing minor league baseball and then minor league hockey. So, you know, we have questions and concerns about the American Hockey League, too. So my second question is, how does the American Hockey League play? They've announced February 5th will be when they start. But how do they do it without fans, potentially?
It's a terrible situation. It really is. First of all, no, I don't think the NHL is starting January 1st. I don't think they're going to be able to work it out. I think there's too many questions still, right down to the fact that the players and how much they're going to get paid. The players don't think they're going to get prorated salaries if it's only a 48 or 56 game season. So that's going to have to be worked out. And I think that's going to be a real stumbling block. So, and the other thing is, if the virus is going crazy, you may need to wait till February and let things kind of die down a little here. But I think a big issue on the hockey horizon is what happens to the American Hockey League and player development in general. You're going to leave a lot of your players over in Europe rather than bring them here to play in the AHL, not knowing if there's going to be an AHL season. Can you play minor league hockey without fans? Can owners open the building without any revenue coming in. Now, some teams are owned by the NHL clubs. The Sabres own Rochester, you know, the Barracuda, and there are teams out there, but there are teams privately owned, like the place you used to work in Syracuse, New York. How can they open the building with no fans? And this is a real issue. The NHL wants fans, and they have TV money coming in. Minor league hockey, minor league baseball that I cover, it's a disaster how these cities are going to have teams operating with no fans, with no revenue. I was telling you before we started recording, the Buffalo Bisons, the AAA team in Buffalo, did social distancing in their stadium to check it out. They have a 16,000-seat stadium that housed the Toronto Blue Jays for the summer. They could only sell 2,500 seats. Well, if you have an indoor arena like the Rochester Amherst, who have, what, 10,000 seats, can they sell 1,000 tickets on social distancing? They can't open and make any money that way. So the virus situation really is a problem for minor league sports in general because they don't have that TV revenue. I think the NHL has so many issues to figure out here. Player development's one of them. I don't think January 1st is all realistic. I don't think that was their thought until the NBA suddenly up and announced, oh, we're starting December 22nd. And I think that put a lot of inherent pressure in the NHL to try to get going. But I still think February is going to be a little more realistic.
Yeah, I was glad the NBA did that because then it kind of, you know, because we're all waiting to find out. We all want to know. I mean, I want to know what the date is. You want to know what the date is. The players do. You know, you mentioned about the player salaries. And of course, you spent the summer covering Major League Baseball, as it turned out, because the Toronto Blue Jays played in Buffalo because Canada wouldn't allow teams to go back and forth across the border. And that's a similar scenario to what baseball went through and why it took them so long to get their season started, right? Because they had to figure out with the players how much they were going to get paid. That's a major stumbling block. Of course, they have a union negotiation or a CBA coming up here very soon too. So that's all part of it.
Right. I mean, the NHL just signed a new CBA, but baseball, it was the major stumbling block. They were ready to go. They could have played, but they couldn't come into an agreement on the money. So it took a while to get their summer camp, essentially their spring training 2.0 started, and to get the season going. And finally, we were able to see some games. And you're right. It was a weird summer. The Sabres were not in the return to play. So the Sabres haven't, excuse me, they haven't played a game since March the 9th. The Bison's AAA baseball season was canceled. All of a sudden, here come the Blue Jays playing in Buffalo. So we could have had nothing in Buffalo for a long time were it not for those 7 weeks of Blue Jays games. But now you're back again to the point where, you know, at least we've had college football start. We don't know about college basketball. We don't know about the Sabres. There's just uncertainty all over again. And, oh, by the way, the Blue Jays still don't know where they're going to play again in the 2021 season, whether it's Buffalo or somewhere else. And the Raptors don't know where they're going to play in the NBA. Now, they're looking like they're going to end up probably at Amalie Arena, the home of the Tampa Bay Lightning. There was some talk, people wanted to know, are the Raptors going to come to Buffalo? Well, the NBA players don't want to be in Buffalo in the winter. Buffalo in August and September is a lot more pleasant than January and February. The Raptors like, no, we want to go to Florida. And it looks like Amalie Arena, the Lightning will be sharing their home this year with the Raptors.
I also heard Nashville was a place they were looking at too.
They were looking at Nashville. You know, I think they want to be in a better place weather-wise. They want to be in a city like, you know, Nashville and Tampa, very nice arenas, hotels right by the arenas, which helps. I think Tampa is really a terrific option. The Raptors went down before the NBA restarted. They went down to Naples to Florida Gulf Coast, and that's where they worked out before going to Orlando. So I had heard that a lot of their players wanted Florida. So I'm not surprised to hear that Amalie Arena seems to be the favorite.
How come with the NBA, it's always what the players want? In the NHL, it seems like they don't get that same kind of pull.
No, the NBA is a complete players league.
They make their own teams, for crying out loud. Right. They engineer their own trades.
Think of college basketball. College basketball is a coach's sport. The NBA is a player's sport. You go through the NBA teams, you can barely name who the coach is for half the teams. You know, but you know the players. Everyone knows Giannis is the star of the Milwaukee Bucks. How many people could name the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks? It's really not like that in hockey. You can go through the teams and everybody can name almost every coach. So it's a little different in the NBA than in hockey in that sense. And the cap works differently. And you're right. We haven't really seen the trade orchestrations in hockey over the years that we've seen in the NBA. But, boy, the NBA, that's a different animal. That's a different animal to cover. That's a different animal to watch, to be a fan of. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, and look, and I like the fact that hockey is so team-oriented. You can't just – you know, we talked about Jack Eichel. You can't get one guy and turn it all around. And
because
and
he only plays a third of the game. Right. If Jack Eichel's your star, he might play 21 minutes a night. That would be like LeBron playing 16 minutes a game.
Right.
Well, in the NBA, LeBron and Giannis and those guys, they play 40, 42 minutes a night. That would be like a hockey player playing 45 minutes a game. Imagine how much better the Sabres could be if it was physically possible for Jack Eichel to play 45 minutes a night. It's a completely different sport.
Right. So I do like the fact that hockey is more team-oriented and it's not just about one guy or two guys. Although I still think you have to have two guys to have a shot. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I just wish they'd listen a little bit. Like if the players said, we'd like to stay an extra night in Tampa or we'd like to stay an extra night in Arizona or, you know, that's where the NBA players get some extra pool and the hockey players do not.
Yeah, because too many of the hockey coaches, like the game is over, we're off to the next city, right, for the game. Well, you play a game in Phoenix in January, it might be a good idea to stay in Phoenix for a couple days after that game and keep practicing there before you go to wherever. You know, last season, the last road trip I was on, the Sabres went to Colorado, Vegas. Then we went to Phoenix. Everything's good. It's February. You don't want to be in Buffalo. Where do we go after Phoenix? We went from Phoenix to Winnipeg.
Oh, I knew it had to be bad. I didn't know.
What kind of schedule was that? Do you know how difficult it was to pack for that?
Yeah, because we did the same thing, not to Winnipeg, but to Montreal at the end of it.
It was 90 degrees in Vegas. In Arizona, the day after the game, I went to a spring training game. I went to a Dodgers game. And I got done for the Dodgers game. I had a 6 p.m. flight out of Phoenix to get to Winnipeg. I flew, got to Winnipeg at 1 in the morning, and it was 20 degrees, which is lucky. It was 20 degrees and snowing, and I'd been at a spring training game in Arizona 12 hours before. That was clearly one of the more bizarre things I've ever endured.
Well, Mike, all we can hope is that we're doing that again very soon. And maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's and I'm talking about the traveling when it comes to us and what we do. Maybe we have to wait another year for that. But here's to hoping the guys get back on the ice and we start playing some meaningful games here very soon. So thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Since I probably won't be talking to you before that. But I really do appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Stay safe. Best wishes to everybody in CBUS. And, hey, the cannon on the shoulder or the retro jersey, you guys are really sending us the message there.
No.
Thumbs down. Thumbs down to the cannon and the jersey.
I can't believe I had to talk so much today about retro jerseys or color jerseys, whatever they are. But thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Oh, Mike just had to do that, didn't he? Just had to bring up that shoulder patch. Just had to get that whole thing going again on those jerseys. But great guy and great insight. Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News joining me on today's show. Coming up next week. Can you believe this? I already have a guest scheduled for next week. Was it last week? I forget what I did from week to week. I just talked to Greg Maldon a week or two ago. He's a former Blue Jacket, just retired after a 16-year pro career, and joined USA Hockey as a coach for the U18 development team. So that's a former Blue Jacket who only played really a handful of games here, but you know went on to have that great pro career and now has a new gig and all that. And I had a chance to talk with him and, you know, talk about his days here and the days at the beginning of his career. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. So I want to continue on that theme and I'm going to do it next week when I have goaltender Dan LaCosta scheduled to join me for next week's show. And of course, Dan, you'll remember when the Blue Jackets made the playoffs that very first time, the 2008-2009 season, because of injuries, Danny was up here, and he got to play some games, and he got some big wins for the Blue Jackets in that short tenure here. So I'm going to talk with Dan LaCosta next week, catch up with him, see where he is and what he's doing, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. So that's what's coming up next week on the show, as well as whatever news breaks between now and then. That's always the deal, right? If something happens, I'm going to talk to you about it. That's how we roll. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'd like to thank Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News once again for being my guest today. Dan LaCosta coming up next week, and whatever else might be on your mind, send me your questions this week via Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports. You can also email me with a voice memo or a video at Bobby Mack at BlueJackets.com, BobbyMac at BlueJackets.com. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Until next time, I'm Bob McElligan saying so long.